Welcome. Let's join best-selling author Fred Kuhn as he interviews our next guest expert.
Welcome, everybody. We have a very focused show today with a really exciting guest, Dr. Nicole Washington. Dr. Nicole, I think is what she prefers on her podcast and so forth to be known, is a board-certified psychiatrist and chief medical officer of Elosian. Did I pronounce that right? Elosian Psychiatric Services. And she's also an Amazon best-selling book author, From Introspection to Action, The High-Level Profile's 28-Day Journey to Improving Mental Health. She has a wonderful podcast called C-Suite Confidant. We'll talk a little about that in a minute, but welcome, Dr. Nicole.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. I'm glad you could join us today. The topic that we're going to focus on today is mental health. And I would like to find out a little about your practice, because it's a very unique practice. So could you share with us what your practice is and what your focus is?
Yes. So at Elosian Psychiatric Services, we focus on the high performer. And we typically end up working with a lot of physicians, attorneys. We can work with anyone. If you are a media personality, if you are a C-suite executive, basically anybody who, because of stigma, feels like they have something to lose by being seen in a psychiatrist's office. If you're a prominent attorney in town, or you are a physician and you're at a psychiatrist's office in the waiting area, you could easily run into one of your clients or one of your patients. And there's always that concern about, oh, what's my attorney doing here? What's my doctor doing here? So this practice is all about providing a safe place, kind of tucked away place that isn't out in the open, not screaming, this is a psychiatric practice that I'm entering. We try to provide flexibility because I realize that professionals are very busy.
The idea that the stigma is still there after 100 years or more of psychiatric professionalism, that we still attach the stigma to the psychiatric care of our own mental health.
It's still there. And if you think about it, I'm not sure about attorneys, but I know for physicians, when we get ready to get licensed in a new state, or you are, you know, applying for credentials at a facility, they will ask you if you've been involved in mental health care sometimes. And that can be a deterrent. People will choose not to go to treatment just to avoid having to answer that question yes on that form.
It's a real shame. But let's get down to a couple of questions that the podcast is going to focus on today. How might mental health challenges affect work performance? I know it's a big question, lots of depth to it, but let's just take the skipping the surface, the stone across the surface of the water, because it's a very expansive area. So what are we talking about here?
You know, on a broader sense, anything that is interfering with your ability to focus on your job is a problem. And if you are someone who suffers with depression or anxiety, or you have a substance use disorder, or you just don't sleep well at night, all of those things have an effect, and not a positive one, on your overall functioning. And it doesn't just affect your personal life, it affects your work life. So you may struggle with meeting deadlines or keeping up with clients' information or even remembering things that you used to remember really well, or being on time even because you haven't slept well. So anything that can affect your sleep or your concentration or your focus or your reliability and consistency as a professional can interfere with your work life.
I know I have insomnia. That's one of my things, and it's a problem sometimes. But these manifest themselves in different ways, don't they? I mean, it's really an interesting thing how different people evidence these concerns.
Yes, everyone's depression doesn't present itself the same way. For some, their depression might present itself in more irritability. And they may, you know, as a supervisor, you may find that you're snapping at the people that work under you. And that's a problem because we know that, you know, the mood of the office goes from the top down. So, you know, if you are in charge and you are suffering with depression and you're irritable, that's going to affect not only your performance, but it's also going to affect the performance of those who work under you. For some, that depression comes across in just lack of motivation, trouble focusing, trouble concentration. So they may not meet those deadlines like they used to. They just may not be able to keep up with the volume of work that they are accustomed to keeping up with.
Is it all centered on depression, or are there other causal components?
Causal as far as?
Well, you mentioned depression several times. Is the depression the central point here that causes these issues, or are there other things besides depression?
Absolutely. So depression is just a good example because people can all relate to depression on some level. But people with anxiety disorders can also have significant impairment at work. People who have more generalized anxiety, who find themselves worrying about everything and nothing, can have that same impairment in concentration. They can have irritability. They can have trouble with focus. They can have memory problems. For some, it can interfere with their sleep. So they may have that same effect due to poor sleep. And we know that people who have substance use disorders also struggle, because when you have an addiction, it can interfere with your reliability and your consistency as an employee. You may not be on time. You may call in a lot. You may not be as effective as you once were. So there are several different mental health disorders that a person can deal with that can all have negative effects on their performance.
I know you mentioned that it works from the top down, and one of the things that I have noticed in multi-generational management of companies is that the younger, the Y, the Z, if they sense that that is not a team, if they sense that they're not going to be happy there, they're gone. I mean, they're gone in an instant, and you may never know why, but it seems that that's becoming a problem, because they're more centered on them than they are centered on hierarchical management.
Yes, absolutely. They will bail because they have options and they don't feel that sense of loyalty that other generations have felt, who would stay somewhere that they were completely unhappy and had lack of job satisfaction and poor quality of life, and they would just hang it out because they were very loyal. And this generation is not necessarily, and I don't see it as a bad thing in every circumstance, they just are not going to be loyal to a system that doesn't serve them well.
That gives us a chance to move right into the next question, which is, what can employers do? What steps can they take to support mental well-being among their employees?
I think one step is to help employees set great boundaries with their position. And we all have worked places where lunch was non-existent and you rarely saw outside from the time you got there to the time you left. You never really took a break. It's kind of frowned upon. You may be seen as a slacker for taking a break.
I've been there and done that. I can tell you that, Dr. Nicole.
Exactly. Exactly. I am convinced that smokers are the least stressed people at work because they always make sure they get their two breaks a day. And the rest of us are just inside, never seeing the sunlight. So, you know, setting better boundaries, the, you know, constant working through lunch, never taking breaks, expecting people to work long hours, because there's very little data to support that working insanely long hours equates to increased productivity.
That's correct. That's correct. Absolutely.
And
correct.
I think that companies will sometimes believe that, oh, you have to work late, or, oh, that person leaves on time every day. That's not necessarily a bad thing. So setting better boundaries as far as work hours and encouraging people to take lunches. And I understand that things will happen from time to time and that won't happen. But, you know, encouraging that behavior, encouraging people not to check their emails all night long when they're supposed to be in their family time. It is very difficult to engage with your family after hours when you're constantly checking your emails because you feel like, if I don't, I'm going to be so behind tomorrow that I'm not that I'm not able to keep up. And so we work 24/7, even during the time that we're not supposed to be working. So
I think that's an absolute problem, especially among the Z and the Y, because they are used to and looking for working from home. One of the problems with working from home is that computer is right there in close to you. You don't have to drive an hour to get to it. So you have a tendency, I think, people have a tendency to gravitate to, well, let me check this, let me look at this. And that may be a rising problem, as you're describing.
And we're on our phone.
Yes, and we're on our phone. Absolutely.
All the time. And our email is coming to our phone.
Oh, I've been inundated today. I just watch them drop in while you and I are speaking. I just watch those things drop in. I thought, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? So, yeah.
And after hours, it's very difficult to ignore that ding when it comes across. When you get that notification, it's hard to ignore it.
I turn off the music. Thank you. I don't get the ding, but I see it coming across the screen. Absolutely.
Another thing that I think employers can do to help their employees is to set very firm understanding and very firm expectations of what it is that they are looking for and what it is that they want from that person. Sometimes I find that people are very unhappy in their workplace because they are trying to meet an invisible expectation. They have no idea what is expected of them, and they are just left guessing whether what they're doing is enough. And another thing that employers can do is to involve employees in decisions that affect their operations. I think one of the most frustrating things for an employee to hear is, you know, we're doing this because we've always done it this way. Or things like, you know, you have this mandate coming down from the CEO that you have to do this without input from people who actually do that work as to how that will affect their job. And it is very easy. I'm a physician, and I've been in medical leadership for years, and I know how things change. And to have someone who, you know, as a physician, has not worked and actively saw patients in several years, give you a mandate from high saying you must do this way when they haven't been in that setting in a very long time, it can be very frustrating and demoralizing. And so I think that is another place that employers can have a positive impact on their employees' well-being in the office. As far as job satisfaction goes, that can be huge.
Dr. Nicole, do you see this applying in some layered form with different generations? Because what you're describing is that do it as I say, not as I do, and the hierarchical structure of top-down. Do you find that that's generational with the boomer and less so with other generations?
Well, I think that a lot of leadership is still held by those previous generations, and it will be interesting to see how this turns when this newer generation is getting more and more into leadership, and they are the ones who are making the decisions, to see how this changes. But I do think it is generational, and that most of the people who are making these, you know, that they are making these decisions, they are the ones who worked and worked and worked and worked and worked and didn't think about those other things.
Right. They may not even be aware of the generational differences.
No, not at all.
Yeah, folks, we have had a wonderful time here with Dr. Nicole Washington, better known as Dr. Nicole, on her podcast, The C-Suite Confidant. And Dr. Nicole, thank you very much for joining us today. And you may contact her on the information on her guest biography page of Workplace Strategies. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for visiting with us. We welcome your comments and suggestions and look forward to having you join us soon at Workplace Strategies.